Being in Melkbos, it's such a cool place to live. And we're most excited to connect with people who thought they were coming to Melkbos for a holiday to get away from their lives and just chill. And we're excited to help them find purpose and discover the huge things that God has made them for. Amen. And so our kids are loving it too. It's pretty different from where they grew up. They definitely miss our home in Zambia, but it took them about 5 seconds to fall in love with Melkbos and the beach. Okay. So we have been privileged to be sent by you guys to serve in Zambia for the past 13 years. And as we were preparing to come back to South Africa, our church in Mongu decided that they're actually going to send us as missionaries to Cape Town. And so they prayed for us and they sent us off and they said, go and be a blessing to the people in Cape Town. And they totally feel a part of everything that is happening here. And so we get messages every other day saying, how's it going at church? How's it going at Melkbos? The youth leader there knows Stephen Scott. So he always asks me, how's Stephen? And I say, no, he's still crazy, still a problem, but no. But isn't it awesome that they care so much and they want the church in South Africa and the youth to do well? Isn't that awesome? Cool. Let me make some space here. And so living in Zambia, we learned so much about being part of a kingdom. And as you know, in church, we've been talking about living the kingdom life. And the place where we were, Western Zambia, is known as the Lozi Kingdom. And there's a king that rules over the kingdom, which is actually more than 1 million people. And every year, there's this big ceremony called Kuomboka, where the Zambezi breaks its floods, and it floods the plains, so there's water everywhere. And people from the villages, they come to see how the chiefs pack up the king's belongings, and they row him in a boat from the wetlands to the palace on the dry lands. And so here's a nice pic for you. But it's a big occasion. Even the BBC is there to record it because it's a tribal ceremony. And even the president of Zambia is there to come and honor the king. And thousands of people come. They line the rivers because the people love their king. They dance. They celebrate. It's really awesome. And with the kind of work that we did, you know, like working with different tribes and translating the Bible into different languages, we often ended up visiting the king's palace, and it was always an interesting experience. Weird stuff always happens there. So they have these customs that ensure that you respect the king and that you follow the Lozi way of life. And so Jess and I will always remember our first time at the palace. One of the rules is that when you're talking to a royal person, they can't look at you while they're talking to you, so they won't make eye contact with you. So we were talking to the queen, but she was looking over there and saying, welcome, and how is your stay in Zambia? And we were kind of looking at her and thinking, doesn't she like us, or is she talking to someone else? It was all very confusing. But that's just the rule. That's the custom. You're not supposed to make eye contact with a royal. You're supposed to show them respect. It's just a funny custom. And then the best one is that when you leave, you have to leave in reverse. So you have to walk backwards because the rule is you're not allowed to turn your back on the king. And so, unfortunately, it was a really long way to the gate. And so Jess and I will always remember feeling really awkward and just checking if we were going to trip over something. But one thing that I discovered, and we often went to the palace, and you know, when there was a challenge that we were facing, a very big challenge, we were able to go there and discuss it. And we would get advice, and we always left there feeling better, feeling like, okay, we're working together with the king, and we're better because the king is with us. The king is on our side. And one of the things I discovered is that the king is there for the people. The king really loves his people because that's his role. He's there to lead them, to protect them, to help them live in peace. And this would always come through in the discussions that we had. And he'd always be asking, how will this affect the people? Will it help the people or hurt them? Will it build the kingdom or will it tear it down? And at the end of the day, that's really what mattered. It was the people that mattered. And that's how life is in God's kingdom. You see, if we have put our faith in Jesus, the Bible says that we are part of his kingdom. And so Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 says, he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. And so if you've given your life to Jesus, he didn't just come into your life, but he actually became your king. And he gives you something to live for. He gives you a purpose to live for. And you start to live by his values. It's no longer just, I'm no longer just living for my mission, but I'm actually living for his purpose and his mission. And he's a good king. He's not a power-hungry king. He's not a dictator. But he's a good king. He has good plans for our lives. He has plans for everyone here tonight. He always has us in his mind. He wants the best for us. And so this evening, I want us to look at how the king calls us. God calls us to come to him. He wants us to bring our troubles and our burdens to him, the things that weigh us down. And that's what we do at church. The prayer requests that we write every Wednesday, we get together and we pray through those prayer requests. And every week I'm reminded that people are carrying stuff, that they've got burdens that they're going through. Some of the prayer requests say, I need a job. My mom's got cancer. I need to pay varsity fees. My brother is going to rehab. Please pray for us. And so these are real life stuff. These are real life challenges. And these are things which Jesus says we must bring to him. You don't have to do these things on your own. You don't have to carry these things on your own. But God says you can bring them to him. And so Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, it says that Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. That's awesome. You know what I like about this verse? It says he's humble and gentle. And the reason why I like that is because when we come to him, he doesn't say, how did you let yourself get to this point again? Isn't this the same problem you brought to me last time? That's what people sometimes say, right? But God doesn't say that. The Bible says he's humble and gentle. He receives us, and he's always willing to help us. When you're burdened, when you're weighed down, when you're stressed out, he says, come to me. He's a good king. He will give you rest. He wants to help you. And so Jesus saw that the people were weary and burdened. He noticed that. And what made them feel weary and burdened? What was so heavy on them that Jesus could actually see it? They were probably going through a lot of the challenges that we go through today. But one thing we know for sure is that they were striving to be good enough to be accepted by God. And their leaders, the Pharisees, had put such strict laws in place that they actually wore the people down. So Give me a moment. So if you were a Jewish child, by the time you were 4 or 5, you would go to school and the rabbi would begin teaching you the law. And so from 4 or 5 years old, children began to learn the law. The law is the first 5 books of the Bible. Our kids were doing ABC. They were doing the first 5 books of the Bible. And they would learn the law all the way up until they were between 10 and 12 years old. And by that time, they had to be able to recite the law. They had to be able to say it word for word by memory. And so that's what they did. And then later, when they went to high school, they would learn what the interpretation of the law was. And then they could either go and do a trade. So some people became fishermen. As we know, some of the disciples were fishermen. Jesus was a carpenter, so they could do a trade. Or they could actually go and follow a rabbi and learn about the rabbi's interpretation of the law. But they studied the law, and they called this the yoke. The yoke was the law, and it was the teachings about the law and all the things that they had to keep. And the Pharisees didn't just teach the law, but they actually added to the law. They had made all these extra rules that people had to follow. And so one of the rules was that you couldn't, on the Sabbath, you couldn't carry anything around the house. So it had to weigh, I think it was 2 figs. It had to weigh less than 2 figs. So you can't move anything. So if you're in your house and you want to move the chair from here to here, sorry. You just got to wait until tomorrow. It was all of these rules that people had to keep in order to be accepted by God. And Jesus sees them struggling with this impossible thing, weighed down by these laws, feeling like they're not good enough. And he says to them, come to me, and I will give you rest. Don't try to do it on your own. Don't try to be good enough. Just come to me. And I love that. It's for everyone. Just come to me. And today we also feel the burden to be good enough. We feel the burden to make enough money. We want to wear the right clothes. One day we want to drive the right car, stay in the right house. And so there's all this pressure to be good enough. And then we also feel the pressure sometimes to be good enough for God, to be accepted by God. But what does Jesus say? He says, come to me. Just this past week, are you guys listening? Are you guys getting me? Yeah. So just this past week, it struck us how people sometimes feel so weighed down. They feel like they're not good enough. There was a lady who, in Malkbos Church, who came to us and said she wanted to volunteer in kids' church. So we thought, great. But she said, I don't know if I qualify. So we said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, you know, with all the problems I'm going through in my family. And it was all things that families go through. She said, I don't know if I qualify. I don't know if I'm good enough. And so people don't always feel good enough, right? But Jesus sets us free from that. You don't have to be good enough. Just come to him. Just come to him. And he says, take my yoke rather than that yoke. Remember, the yoke was all the rules, all the things you had to do. He says, no, take my yoke upon you. Lay that yoke down of thinking like that you have to be good enough. Don't pick it back up. Take my yoke upon you. And so this is what a yoke actually looks like. It's this wooden mechanism that holds the oxen together. And so what happens is an oxen when the oxen is young, it's strong, but it's not disciplined. It just runs all over the place and bashes everything that's in its way. But the farmers, what they'll do is they'll actually tie the oxen together using this this yoke. And they'll join the young oxen together with a more experienced oxen. And the experienced oxen knows what it means to pull something. He knows what it means to go on a long journey. And so in Mongu in Zambia, we would often have people come to us from the villages, and they would travel up to 30 hours. They'd travel through the night, through forests, floodplains, just to come for lessons, to come for workshops. And I'd always be amazed, you know, you travel 30 hours. Are you serious? How do you do that? And what would happen is they would come in the back of an ox cart, and the oxen would pull them. But because the oxen are pulling together, because they're helping one another, they could go long distances. And for in our lives, when we're yoked together with Jesus, we can go the distance. We can go long distances with him. But if we're trying to do it on our own, it's not possible. But when we yoke together with him, then he shows us the way to go. His strength carries us. And so it's important that we're yoked together with Jesus, that we don't do it on our own. And so when Jesus talks about taking his yoke, what is he talking about? Well, the yoke was the teachings. The yoke was, and the yoke was his values. And so Jesus is saying, take my teachings upon you. Learn from me. Learn from me. I will lead you. I will show you. I will walk with you. Learn from me. And just think about that for a moment. It's not about rules. It's not about rules. It's not about do this, don't do this. But we need to know what is important to God. And we need to do what's important to God. That's what it means to follow him. And so I was just thinking about what Jesus values the most. And I just wrote down a few things. I want to share that with you tonight. He shows us that in his kingdom, he values people. Jesus values people. And so he says, come to me, all who are weary and carry burdens, and I will give you rest. And so no one is excluded. But it tells us that all kinds of people matter to God, and they should matter to us as well. One of the most awesome things about this generation is it's so racially integrated. This generation doesn't see color. We don't make the mistakes of our parents and previous generations. It's awesome. When Rachel was about 3 or 4 years old at school in Zambia, she would go to school every day, and then one day she said to her teacher, I wish I was blue. She wasn't very good at her colors, but she said, I wish I was blue like all the other children. Yeah, so her teacher was a bit confused, you know, maybe she wanted to be a Smurf or something, but people today don't see color. But we do see money. We do see when people have money, when they're wearing nice shoes, when they're wearing nice clothes. And if we're going to value what Jesus values, we have to value people. No matter who they are, no matter where they come from, we have to value people because God values people. And so it says that Jesus said, come to me. So he was approachable. People could come to him. Everyone could come to him. Are we approachable? In our friendships, are our friendship circles so tight that nobody can get in? Or are we open to others? Do we let other people in? Because people matter to God. Cool. Are we all together at that point? Great. Jesus shows us, in my kingdom, I value humility. And so the disciples would often argue, who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? And it was so crazy, you know? They're all with Jesus. They're like all part of his inner circle. What a cool thing. But they still want to know, but among us, who's going to be the greatest, you know? And in Matthew 18, it says, Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. Then he said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So we need to become like children. We need to humble ourselves like a child. Well, what does that mean? Well, children are willing to learn. They don't think that they're bigger than they actually are. But they're humble. They're willing to learn. And we need to be willing to learn. You know, often in the world, humility is seen as a weakness. If you're too humble, people think, no, that person, you know, it's a, we're told, no, people will just walk all over you, right? But we need to fight against that. And we need to decide to value humility because Jesus values humility in his kingdom. We must never be too big to do small things for God. Cool. And then we see in God's kingdom, he values families. Families were his idea, and he placed us in our families for a reason. And even if our families are a bit weird or a bit different, and we all feel like that, right? Our families, you know, we like, when people come to visit, we like, just tell them, okay, you're going to meet my dad, but just want to warn you, you know, he's a bit different. He's going through a phase in his life. But you know what they say, hey? Everybody's normal until you get to know them. So all of us have weird and quirky families. But God put us in our family for a reason. He values family. Are we valuing our families? Are we spending time with them? Do we speak well of them even when they're not there? Even though they're not perfect, yeah. Do we speak well of them? Do we speak well behind their backs? Do we pray for them? Are we willing to help out around the house? In God's kingdom, he values generosity. The Bible says God loves a person who gives cheerfully. God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And so we must look for opportunities to give and not just to get. And it's not about how much we earn. Sometimes we feel like, but I don't really earn much money. But you can always give something. We need to find ways to give of ourselves because God values generosity. Think of Jesus' life. He was the most generous person ever. He left heaven where he was worshipped and adored. He left heaven and he came to earth. And he humbled himself. He gave up everything for us. What an awesome example to us of generosity. And so there's so many values that are helpful for our lives, and we've got to make sure that we're grabbing onto these values and applying them to our lives. And that's what's going to make life work. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." What does that mean? You know, he was a carpenter. And so he probably would have made many yokes in the carpentry shop. And you can get different types of yokes. You can get yokes that are cheap and yokes that are custom made, especially for certain animals. And so maybe the cheap one is like the one size fits all, you know? And so it gets put on the oxen and then even if it doesn't fit well, but the oxen has to work with that. But after about an hour, the oxen's gonna get tired and probably fall to the ground. Because it doesn't fit well. But Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. It fits you. It fits your life. Jesus' teachings were made for your life. They were made for your life. I just want to squeeze in this last value quickly, which I see in Jesus' life. And that is fun. God is a joyful God. Jesus was with people all the time in their homes. We read how he went to a wedding, to a party. People liked to be around him. He must have been a fun guy. And the kids liked to be around him. You know, kids don't like to be around people who are boring. You ever notice that? Kids don't go to people who are boring. But the kids wanted to be around him. And that tells me that he was fun. He was full of joy. He did life with his friends 24/7. I'm sure they sat around the fire and laughed. But I'm just sharing this because it's so important, you know. And it's something that I've had to be intentional. I've had to intentionally work on this in my own life because we can get so serious sometimes, you know. And we can forget to actually have fun. And we need to have fun. We need to celebrate. We need to live life to the full. It refreshes our souls. Amen. Awesome. So let's come before God this evening. Praise you, Lord. I just want us to take time to think about the yoke that we're carrying this evening. Think about the yoke that you are carrying. Are you carrying Jesus' light yoke that fits you? His yoke that fits your life? Are you following him? Are you coming to him daily? Following his teachings and his values? Or are you just trying to follow a bunch of rules? Why don't you just come to him this evening and just say, Lord, I want to take your yoke upon me. Lord, I want to follow your teachings, your values, Lord. Lord, I want to walk with you. Maybe you're carrying a burden tonight, something that you've been carrying on your own. You've been walking with this thing. And this evening, you just need to come and lay that down before him. Say, Lord, I'm giving you this burden. I'm not going to carry it alone. I'm giving it to you. Won't you give me rest? Won't you give me your peace? And help me with this thing. Help me to carry this thing.